Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Visitation. That feast is important on several levels. It's important to every single one of us because this is the season, perhaps it's better to say, when Mary, having experienced the angel calling her to become the mother of the Messiah, hears that her cousin, her older cousin, is pregnant, a seeming miracle that she is pregnant. And what does Mary do? Mary doesn't sit in her room and say, well, I'm privileged, I'm special, I'm this, I'm that. No, she goes to help her cousin. She gives herself, even in the middle of having quite a time of revelation, she goes to care for her cousin Elizabeth. The word visitation is actually a little different than a simple visit. It wasn't just the visit of Mary to her cousin. It was the visitation. Magnificat tells us, unlike a simple visit, a visitation is different owing to the purpose intended by the get-together. A visitation aims to accomplish something. Specifically, a visitation is an encounter that carries within it a meaning that is exceptional. In the visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the meaning is not a message, but rather the exceptional presence of the Son she carries within her womb. So Mary goes to help her cousin, to serve her humanly, but in reality, what she brings so much more is the life she carries within her. We can be certain that the mystery of the visitation is effective in our lives if we do now, before Jesus is born, what Christ will command us to do as he dies. Behold your mother. This is our time, always from the time of this period of time until next Christmas. This is a time when, in a sense, we carry the life of Christ within us, and we want the world to see him. And so there's a kind of parallel where you can say to yourself, I want the life of Christ to grow in me over these next months. It's moved the Feast of the Visitation here, but the whole idea is that in these months, I want to carry Christ within me, that he might truly be born, in a sense, in me and through me. See, every year we have an opportunity. It's not just, Christmas is not just a time to give gifts. It's the birth of Jesus Christ into a world that was in darkness. But it's also a birth of Jesus Christ within us personally, that he becomes more evident, that he becomes more seen, that when people encounter us, they encounter Christ because Christ lives within us. For Mary, it all began when the angel came to her. And then her first response was to be kind to someone else. She brings the presence of Christ, but the call is to reach out, to give. She doesn't sit alone in a room and say, well, I'm privileged, and if anybody wants to see me, they can come to see me. Mary would never do that. Ask God to draw you close to your mother. Ask God to speak to your heart and show you her selflessness, her love. She radiated the beauty of her Son, and she prays that for you and me. Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14 to 18. Shout for joy, O daughter Zion. Sing joyfully, O Israel. Be glad and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has removed the judgment against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You have no further misfortune to fear. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion, be not discouraged. The Lord your God is in your midst, and he's with you right now. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty Savior. He will rejoice over you with gladness and renew you in his love. He will sing joyfully because of you, as one sings at festivals. Certainly the angels cried in glory and joy at the total gift of self that Mary gave. Think of that. And yet you and I, even now, sinful and weak though we are, when we give ourselves totally to God, he uses us. And he allows Christ to be seen through us. Not perhaps in as splendorous a way as did Mary, but even in our sinfulness, as long as it's repented for sin, God can shine through us. God can be seen through us. Really. Open your heart. Ask your Blessed Mother. Ask her to pray for you. Among you, says the responsorial psalm, among you is the great and the Holy One of Israel. God indeed is my Savior. I am confident and unafraid. Do you pray that way? Do you make that prayer your own? Listen to this. It's from Isaiah 12. My strength and my courage is the Lord. He has been my Savior. With joy you will draw water at the fountain of salvation. Give thanks to the Lord. Acclaim his name. Among the nations make known his deeds. Proclaim how exalted is his name. Sing praise to the Lord for his glorious achievement. Let this be known throughout all the earth. Shout with exultation, O city of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Oh, I long, brothers and sisters, I long, because I'm a citizen of the United States, I long for the day he will shine through our lives in this country. This country is dedicated to the Blessed Mother. May her grace and the overwhelming salvific grace of her Son penetrate our hearts and make us rejoice in his presence and be servants of his presence, that others might come to find him. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 to 56, Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb. Why did John the Baptist leap in his mother's womb? Because he recognized the presence of the Messiah in Mary's womb. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Elizabeth was prophetic there. And how does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Do you see the wisdom that's given to Elizabeth? Mary looked like any other pregnant woman. But Elizabeth knew somehow. I put that "knew" in quotation marks. And how does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believe that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. Does your soul proclaim the greatness of the Lord? It could, more and more. Not perfectly like Mary, but more and more. Our soul, our whole orientation, the life force within us, so to speak, that comes from God, proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Do you rejoice in God who has saved you? You've been saved. You can reject it. You're free. It'd be the most stupid thing you could ever do. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Recount the things that God has done for you. And if you can't name them, if you can't list them, if you don't have a good list there, you're not paying attention. God has done all kinds of things for you. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal, what has God done for me? Begin to see things from God's perspective. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and to his children forever. Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful hymn of praise. She recounts who he is, his mercy, his strength. He scattered the proud. He's cast down the mighty. He's lifted up the lowly. He's filled the hungry with good things. The rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel. For he has remembered his what? His promise of mercy. This is the year of mercy. Do you know the mercy of God in your own life? Do you recount it? I do. Do you go back and look at all the ways in which God has shown mercy to you? Do that. No better way to celebrate this feast than to do that. That was her prayer. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He's lifted up the lowly. He's remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. Mary is recounting the goodness of God. Brothers and sisters, men and women, make that prayer part of your day, the Magnificat. Unite with Mary before the face of God. He is mighty. He is good. He is faithful. Even when I can't see it, and think Mary suffered a great deal in her life. Her life was not a bed of roses, not at all. But she praised him and glorified him and honored him in the good times and trusted him when the times were hard. Trust him. You can trust him. Brothers and sisters, I pray that in this great day, this Feast of the Visitation, a feast very dear to my own religious community, the Servants of God's Love, I pray that you may know the joy of the Blessed Mother. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.